His staff set out with that goal, and it was heartily applauded by the liberal establishment of the 1930s. Countless editorial boards, politicians, and pundits, including the revered Walter Lippmann, called on President Roosevelt to become a dictator, which was not a dirty word in the early 1930s, and to tackle the Depression the same way Wilson and the progressives had fought World War I. Indeed, it is my argument that during World War I, America became a fascistic country, albeit temporarily. The first appearance of modern totalitarianism in the Western world wasn't in Italy or Germany, but in the United States of America. How else would you describe a country where the world's first modern propaganda ministry was established? Political prisoners by the thousands were harassed, beaten, spied upon, and thrown in jail simply for expressing private opinions. The national leader accused foreigners and immigrants of injecting treasonous poison into the American bloodstream. Newspapers and magazines were shut down for criticizing the government. Nearly 100,000 government propaganda agents were sent out among the people to whip up support for the regime and its war. College professors imposed loyalty oaths on their colleagues. Nearly 250,000 goons were given legal authority to intimidate and beat slackers and dissenters. And leading artists and writers dedicated their crafts to proselytizing for the government. The reason so many progressives were intrigued by both Mussolini's and Lenin's experiments is simple. They saw their reflection in the European looking glass. Philosophically, organizationally, and politically, the progressives were as close to authentic, homegrown fascists as any movement America has ever produced. Militaristic, fanatically nationalist, imperialist, racist, deeply involved in the promotion of Darwinian eugenics, enamored of the Bismarckian welfare state, status beyond modern reckoning, the progressives represented the American flowering of a transatlantic movement, a profound reorientation toward the Hegelian and Darwinian collectivism imported from Europe at the end of the 19th century. In this sense, both the Wilson and the FDR administrations were descendants, albeit distant ones, of the first fascist movement, the French Revolution. Given the benefit of hindsight, it's difficult to understand why anyone doubts the fascist nature of the French Revolution. Few dispute that it was totalitarian, terrorist, nationalist, conspiratorial, and populist. It produced the first modern dictators, Robespierre and Napoleon, and worked on the premise that the nation had to be ruled by an enlightened avant-garde who would serve as the authentic organic voice of the general will.